Okay, welcome to Academic Life and Learning, Tools and Ideas for Technology-Mediated Studying and Language Development. And we have a two-pronged situation today. First, I will be speaking. My name is Marko Siitonen. I come from the Department of Language and Communication Studies. And then we have Jussi Jussila coming from MOBI. And my topic is Technology-Mediated Studying Environments, and Jussi will then talk about language development angles. Today's topic is I have designed my own topic in such a way that I introduce a couple of talking points or things to think about, and then I ask you to actually talk and think about them. And due to the fact that this session is also recorded, I will then every once in a while pause the recording and let people hear things through. And if you are watching the video from your home, then I would ask you to, for example, simply take a pen and some paper and jot down your notes related to the topics at hand. So very shortly, today's topic from my end. It deals with this whole bit about academic learning skills and the understanding of the environment in which you are in, to adjust your environment so that it suits your needs the best. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we take for granted in any given environment. And that's quite simply because of the way our mind works, in a way. And it has to do with the fact that we are, in a way, fishes in a pond. Wherever we are and whatever we do, we adjust. That's human. We adjust. We adapt. That's actually life in general adapts to its environment. And so do we. And the interesting bit is that once that a certain level of adaption has taken place, we may call it structuration, borrowing from Anthony Giddens' terms coming from sociology. We may call it structures have emerged, and we are content in living our lives amongst those structures. They sort of become invisible to us. It's very difficult for us to even notice them anymore. They are like the air we breathe. And the thing is, if we want to change them, if we want to change those structures, we have to first become aware of them. And that's something that we can very consciously do, to simply stop and think about where we are, what are we doing, where are we going, and so forth. And I think this is one of them. As I see it, one of the main benefits of a course like this is that it allows for you to stop and think of who you are today here. Where are you going? What is going to happen? How do you want it to pan out, in a way? And so now you find yourselves in a new environment. Of course, the University of Jyväskylä. Some of you may have, for example, had a break in between studies. You may have worked somewhere, or perhaps you studied, perhaps you didn't have a break, but perhaps you came here from another kind of academic environment, another academic culture, so to speak. And of course, the first months always are spent in trying to understand what is going on here and what is even possible in this new environment. Quite simply, you need to look and understand the affordances of the new environment. What can I do here? What's possible? What's not possible? What's easy? What's difficult? What works the same way as it used to work? And what works completely in a completely different way? The idea of affordances, of concentrating on affordances, is a powerful tool you may use. And it is a tool that we too often forget. Especially I guess that's kind of human as well, that we focus often on the human tools, the human actors and the human affordances. And what the perspective I want to offer to you here today is that actually a lot of our the affordances around us, they are somehow related to technology. And so basically the basic questions I presented, you know, what can I do? How difficult is it? How easy it is? What is expected of me and how things are supposed to happen? There's a lot of non-human actors around us that somehow end up affecting or somehow becoming a part of the structure we are in. And so the first, very first, and in quite a simple question I would like to ask you to talk about and think about is simply, what is this system around us in the first place? What tools and systems does it consist of? I'm now thinking of technology. So you are in a technology-mediated studying environment. Think of the way the library works. Think of the way courses work. Think of all the tools, channels, and applications you may use when you are studying. How do you contact your fellow students? How are you in contact with your teachers? How do you, what kind of tools and applications, for example, you use to make notes or write stuff or calculate stuff or whatever? I don't know the exact characteristics of your kind of studies, but I'm sure that technology is somehow there. So my first question for you, and I will soon pause the recording, is to spend a moment simply thinking and here talking about, what does the technology-mediated studying environment look like? What elements does it consist of? Okay, so that was the first point, becoming aware of the kind of a holistic picture of the communication environment that we are in. Now, moving to another kind of point, what I have felt, especially during this time of the pandemic, very strongly, but I think it also applies beyond that in our everyday sort of normal existence, whether that's the new normal or old normal or whatever, is that we are not doing this alone. So whenever we talk about studying in academia or doing any kind of collaboration in academia, very few things in the end happen in complete isolation or alone. Rather, we are a part of a community. Our fellow student colleagues, our relationship with the teachers, our relationship with the overall infrastructure of the university, perhaps some associations or non-governmental actors or family and so forth, family and friends. We are always a part of certain networks. We're never completely detached from them. And that's another thing that is often today mediated by technology. The thing that happens there is quite interesting. Also there we start to take things for granted that may perhaps not be wise to take for granted, such as who the others are. And also here, I argue, becoming more conscious helps, quite simply. The people we are collaborating with, they also have their own realities, their own background, their own expectations, and the things they are used to. And so what I encourage you to do overall, now when you are constantly meeting new people, is to keep being awake and alert and listen to them. listen to them and how they are used to operating. And so basically, instead of rushing forward, let's say there's a new class starting, a new course starting, and you are supposed to do a group work. And of course, it is possible, and we often do it this way, it's possible to simply rush forward and say, okay, so you do this, I do that, let's do a shared Google Drive document, some Google Docs written document, and collect all our thoughts there. What I'm offering instead is to do it a bit slower and start from trying to learn who the others are, and also asking sort of stupid questions, simple questions related to what are you used to, what are you expecting, do you have a better idea? You know, this is how I used to do things in my previous studies. What about you guys? And then by collecting these different things, you may make a more informed decision regarding how to move forward. There is a thing that happens in technology mediated communication where it is sometimes difficult to build presence. It's one of the basic rules of communication when we, like, let's say social interaction, when we are interacting with another person, a certain minimum level of presence is needed. It's quite simply required. If you try to, you can imagine it this way, you try to speak to another person and they turn their head away and they don't give any indication that they listen to you. Communication becomes very tedious at that point and actually off-putting. So what we're rather looking for is that if we speak to a person, they somehow acknowledge us. They are there. They communicate their presence in some way. Now, of course, at a minimum level, if we think of a classical face-to-face lecture situation, presence is communicated by being there. You know, you drag your body, your embodied self, into that situation. You sit down somewhere at the corner, and you are there. And this is the minimum level of presence required. Similarly, in a Zoom situation or something like this, what we're doing here, you log in, you have your name appear on the screen. That's the minimum level of presence. But it's not a lot. I have to say, it's not enough. It's not enough to support you through your studies. Some kind of an effort needs to be done to emphasize presence, to actively communicate presence, to say, hey, I'm here. I listen to you. I see you, in a way. And without that kind of communication, building a community, building a strong group of students and I mean, colleagues you can rely on becomes very difficult. And this is our second point of discussing in this discussion now. I would like you to think about how do you, sort of how present are you if you are studying in an online situation, for example, and what could you do to improve that? How could you somehow help your student colleagues and yourself become a stronger community through building presence? This is a very tricky question and a big open question, but something to think about. Now we're going to have another break. So those at home, please write your thoughts and we will do some discussion. So the final viewpoint I want to share is simply, it's like a home task for you. I like to approach this using the metaphor of a kitchen. You could use another metaphor, like let's say now winter is coming here in Finland, and always when the winter is coming, then everyone who drives a car or wants to continue riding a bike should somehow prepare for that. And they can't expect that the tools they have used in the summertime work just as nicely during the wintertime. But a kitchen is also nice. So what happens in a kitchen, of course, all of us, we have a kitchen or we have access to a kitchen, and those kitchens are very different. And what happens there is that you have an array of tools at your disposal. And some of them you have had for a long time, and some of them you are very familiar with, while others may be new. And some now, for example, in a when entering an environment like the University of Jyväskylä, they are given to you. So suddenly you have to use a tool called Sisu or some other tool, and you didn't choose that, it's given to you, but you have to somehow live with it. So what can we do? As a continuation of the first point to think about, which was what is our technological environment, what kind of affordances are there, there's also the developmental aspect. So what can I do to make it better? If I have a knife in the kitchen metaphor, is it sharp enough? Is it the right kind of knife I'm going to need? If I'm going to learn to cook a new dish, let's say a fish, something related to a fish. Now, are the knives I have good enough to do this? Or do I need to do something? Do I need to get a new knife or get my old knife sharpened? That's what you need to ask also in relation to technology-mediated communication and the tools you use for studying. So basically, the topic is then, how well do you know the tools of your trade? How confident are you in using them? Let's say you know already that at some point in your studies, perhaps even as a part of your master's thesis, you need to use some sort of statistical analysis package or something like that. And that's a tool of your trade that you need to get used to and somehow familiarize yourself with. Or perhaps you are in sort of music sciences and something related to that area is you already know that you need to learn those things. Again, I'm simply saying here is that instead of rushing forward, instead of taking things for granted, it's a good idea to stop and really think about these things. Is it possible that that there's an easier way? Is it possible that somebody has come up with a better way of doing things already? What options are there for making your study environment, whether you're talking about things at home, things at school, the computer you carry with yourself when you are studying, or something like that? Is it possible to make that better? Simply run smoother, be more reliable, be more accessible, for example, or something like that. And every one of us have our own different needs and own different approaches to these things. Since we are short of time, we are not going to have a longer discussion here now about this. It's something you can continue to think by yourself, but also on Moodle, associated with this particular piece, this introductory piece, there is a small homework for you, which asks you to interview some colleagues, so student colleagues, about their technological environment and how they relate to distance studying and this kind of Zoom era of studying at a university. The point of that exercise is to, since now I have asked you to think about your situation, the point of that exercise is to force you to go out and ask and listen. And possibly, hopefully, what they tell you opens up new ideas and avenues for you. So you may find that they have found a solution that you want to then try, or that may also work for you. Or perhaps you end up advising them. That's also a plus in my books. If that happens. But so I simply ask you to, in addition to analyzing your own situation and your own attitude and approach to technology, to go out there and ask how others have made sense and solved the current way we are studying at a university. And of course, there are also our university offers all kinds of guidance and instructions for these, so you may check those ones out as well. But I have found that people are so very different that there are no hard and fast rules that apply for everyone. Things like accessibility issues and so forth, we are quite simply different in this regard, but you will know what works for you. I hope you can find a way to make your technological environment as supportive as possible for you, because you are going to need it throughout your studies. And so it's better to try to make it as good as possible, as early as possible, as reliable and efficient as possible.